Aha, it's been a long time. You did that joke. It's also been a long time without you, my friend.
I was going to do that.
Tell you all about it when we'll see you again. I was just in the wrong place and time. Now there's trouble. Oh, yeah. Trouble.
I feel like those are lyrics.
And
is that just your new instruction?
Pineapple Express. Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express indeed.
Totally gone because we're on Pineapple Express.
I did not know
Pineapple. We're on it. Yeah, it's the chronic.
I didn't know
these
Pineapple.
These are the lyrics
yeah.
from the song Pineapple Express as sung by, and I'll give you a hint, in the first season finale because of the way it was aired, but actually just like the sixth episode of the season of production of Fox's animated sitcom Sit Down Shut Up, starring two of the Smartless cast. They go to a house party in which there are cars for every film the star, this singer sung a song for, and it has a DeLorean, and then it has the Pineapple Express car. That's the joke.
What? Huey Lewis?
Yep, and the News.
And the News.
That's a 2009 reference. That's a reference to a 2009 animated sitcom that no one saw, that I had to go to the Paley Center in Beverly Hills to rewatch while I was in Los Angeles. I spent 40 minutes watching a panel and then the first episode again, because I enjoyed it and no one else did. Of Sit Down, Shut Up, the US version. Darling, two are smartless.
I'm already...
My mind is... And I am very clearly movie mad.
Wait, hold on. I'm so confused. I'm Johnny Ellis, and I'm movie mad.
Are you movie mad?
I am in movie mad.
That's the name of the podcast in which I, a cinephile, show you a movie madophile films, and you go, ah, ooh, ee, ah, ooh.
Ting, tang, walla, walla, boom, bang.
Well, I think that song is cancelled at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. Probably.
I'm pretty sure that one's a bad one. I'm not saying it's a Kevin Spacey one. I'm saying it's a Ted Danson at Whoopi Goldberg's roast one.
This week's episode I'm very excited for. I've been wanting to watch this
film
for years.
What film are we doing? It's very hard to tell. Yeah. We keep it in a mystery.
I feel like this was a big hit. It was a big sort of...
Ooh.
It had a lot of fans. But I feel like something happened over the last few years where it's not been in the discussion as much.
Oh, is it because it's, you know, one of those 2 hour long Apatow films?
Maybe, yeah.
And
maybe.
Those die a death because they go like, well, there's a lot of improv, and a lot of the improv is improv because they just come up with it on the spot and you just try and find the best one, and they forgot to find the best one, so they leave it in.
But I was thinking about this earlier, this week when we were getting ready to record.
And we take a week to do it.
I don't know why it's called hip. I was going to say hip record because I.
Why is it called hip record?
Why?
You can only
it...
ask one person, and that person knows who he is.
Joe, Mama,
it's Mr. Corman to you,
and
me, because I watch all of Mr. Corman. Did you on Apple TV Plus? That's a show that exists.
I haven't watched much.
No, but have you watched Mr. Corman on Apple TV Plus?
I've
with
can't...
Arturo Castro, star of Roadhouse.
I think I've only watched Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus, even though I haven't subscribed to it for 2 years.
You haven't seen Shrinked yet? Shrinking.
No. Which oh, I did Lasso watch. I did watch a show about a singer.
Singer.
It was a lovely, lovely little show.
A lovely little show about a singer.
Lovely little show about a singer.
Was it a little show? Or was it a big show?
Oh,
what, did you watch the Big Show show?
Was it Oh, my pee button's gone.
Was it Jane Horrocks and Ewan McGregor? But then it wasn't Jane Horrocks and Ewan McGregor because, of course, it was a remake.
I think it's called Little Voice. Yes,
it Little Voice, yes.
Little Voice.
That's what I was doing. I was doing a reference to the original film of Little Voice.
There's an original film? I think we should add that to the list.
You didn't know
this
Little
week
Voice.
We're doing Little Voice. No.
I only knew the
TV show.
You are so young. It was in that phase of Full Monty, Brastoff and Little Voice.
Yeah.
British films could be good again. And then, you know, what happened?
Life happened.
Love, actually.
Love finds a way.
This year's love. Ooh. Oh, so they were all bad.
Pineapple Express, I realised, I don't know what it's about.
Can I tell you one thing?
I don't know why it's called Pineapple Express. Is it about a train?
It's not about a train.
Oh.
Now, when this came out, I remember casually watching BBC News and turning off very quickly because he came on. But the man, the doctor, came on to state that this was the worst film he'd seen that year.
Oh, really?
He hated this thing. So if you still love that guy...
Well, out of respect, this week's episode has been cancelled.
Just a heads up. No, Pineapple Express is, of course, one of those films from the director. What's his name? Oh, he did that film that we all love. George Washington, that small indie drama. Right? Yeah? Small indie drama that went on and made, you know, important, interesting indie dramas like Prince Avalanche and Joe. And what did he do? Oh, The Exorcist Believer.
What?
You know, indie dramas and I guess a couple of comedies.
Okay,
and,
so Judd Apatow didn't direct this.
Exorcist. No, this is not. This is an Apatow production.
Apatow production.
This is David Gordon Green's Pineapple Express.
Now, why is it called Pineapple Express? I have many theories.
Okay. Well, this is going to be interesting.
It's about a train. Train called Pineapple Express. They need to get on the Pineapple Express. I feel like it's a stoner movie. I'm pretty certain.
You feel?
I'm like quite certain. I'm like 95% certain. There's still a 5% chance it could not be. Pineapple Express could be the name of the strain of weed that they're on. But I don't think that's a very good name for a weed strain. Like,
what are good weed strain names? Because I only hear that in jokes. I don't really have an affinity for knowing strains of things.
I think you just know it when you hear it. And when I hear Pineapple Express, it doesn't sound like... Like, Berserker is a good weed strain.
Is that...
Yeah.
That sounds much connected... more like a bath salt situation.
No, because it makes you think of Clerks. Yeah.
Okay.
There is actually a weed strain called Berserker because, you know, Kevin Smith makes as much money as he can. So, yeah, train, weed strain.
Train, or, strain, or...
Or weed train. Or, and this would be fun, they work for pineapple delivery service.
Okay.
Which are things, because my sister's ex-boyfriend, did he like or did he hate pineapples? I think he liked pineapples. And we found a website randomly that sends a pineapple to someone's workplace or, you know, wherever. Mm. So we, and it was only like a couple of quid, so we had about a week of sending him pineapples, either every day or every couple of days, just to confuse the hell out of him. So that'd be fun. But I've got no idea other than that, like, what the actual plot is.
Well, and... I mean, I did say, just to give you a heads up, I did sing a bit of the Pineapple Express song as sung by Huey Lewis and the News.
Yeah.
Because we're on it. Yeah, it's the Chronic. Does that not give you any hint?
Chronic weed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. I did say I was 95%.
I can give you a little heads up on maybe this might be the plot. Again, this is the start of the lyrics. Brother, grab your chillum and get all your gear. We got problems. We got to get out of here. Well, I got you and you got me. We're as high as we can be, so it's all right. Oh, yeah, it's all right.
Are there children involved?
It's not your fault. It's not mine. I was just in the wrong place and time. Now there's trouble. Oh, yeah, trouble.
Wrong place and time? Is it a time travel movie? Is this a secret Doctor Who film? This is
Doctor Who.
Yeah. I have no idea what to...
Well, look, you can, according to the Blu-ray, you can ride high on the Pineapple Express. The outrageously hysterical blockbuster from Judd Apatow, the director of Knocked Up and 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, I still can't think what the actual plot... Like, there must be a journey they're going on, and they've got to find something, I don't know. But, like, the fact... And I didn't realise until, like, a day or two ago, you mentioned it's 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm. I did just say... It's outrageous hysterical blockbuster from Judd Apatow, the director of Knocked Up and 40 Year Old Virgin. So, of course, it's not
more than three hours,
but it's also
Apatow.
Not anywhere near an hour and a half, unless it's called Carl the Dewey Cox Story or Drillbit Taylor.
But I went,
or Year One.
You know, until a couple of days ago, I was thinking to myself, oh, you know, it'll be nice record. It'll be, you know, an hour and a half of the film and then recording it either side of it. I've suddenly an extra half hour's been out. And not that I don't like your company.
No, but you have to be the company of Seth Rogen and James Franco.
But I've heard good things. But like I said, I haven't heard good things for a few years now. But it was big, and like, it was a film that was bandied about. I don't know, such a weird
bandied
thing.
Bandied about on Bandy's Tract, previous episode.
Bandied about, I knew nothing about it.
Do you remember its brief appearance in culture in a motion picture? This was true to my existence as well, because
I knew
someone, people who were the same age as the character when they filmed
that. It had appearance in culture, but I don't think of a film that it turned up in. What film did it turn up in?
Right. I can remember two of the films. I couldn't remember the third film. And the third film, the kid mentions, it's like, well, of course it's that fucking film. What is stupid of me? If you remember Mason, when he's on a trip, Mason Jr., when he's on a trip with Mason Sr., when they're just hanging out as fatherhood and boyhood.
Okay, so you said Mason, and I've been on a 24 and 24 binge recently, so now I'm thinking George Mason.
No.
Director of CTU, but no.
No, Fatherhood and Boyhood.
Right, yeah. Right, wait, well, hold on, wait. Fatherhood and Boyhood. I know Boyhood.
Mason Senior and Mason Junior. So Fatherhood
right, okay,
and Boyhood.
Right, I thought there was another film.
They're out in the woods together, they're having a nice time.
Right.
And Mason Junior says, you know, his three favourite films of the summer were Tropic Thunder, Pineapple Express, and The Dark Knight.
Wow.
And I know people who were Ella's age when they filmed that sequence, and that's exactly what they were telling me as well.
Okay.
American kids were going to see two hard R films.
Yeah.
Lucky bastard.
Wait, so Dark Knight, Pineapple Express, and what was the other one?
Tropic Thunder, the Oscar-nominated Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder. Right. Okay. Tropic Thunder is another that I've seen, but I wouldn't mind going back over. Tropic Thunder and Superbad are comedies.
Tropic Thunder, the director's cut?
No, I don't believe I have.
Because for a while, that's all that was available, because that was the one that was on Blu-ray.
Oh, right. Yeah. Also, I'm quite surprised Pineapple Express isn't on Netflix as we speak, because I'm sure it's been on Netflix.
Yeah,
the
ebb and flow of streaming is that things come and go. And just as they go, you get to another streaming platform, it pops on there. And then as soon as you decide to get kicked off that streaming platform, it will go on to the next one. Because streaming platforms don't mean anything anymore, and everything is stupid, and the industry is dead. And I'm trying to set up a lawsuit right now, the People versus Coyote versus Acme.
I know, right? Don't get me started on that fucking thing.
No, sorry. let's get you started.
Streaming services are the bane of my fucking. I mean, it's bad enough that they ripped Batgirl away from us.
Scoob 2.
Yeah, but Batgirl was the main
Whatever the sequel title for that was that like Halloween Haunting or was that Thanksgiving Turkey?
Thanksgiving Turkey, yes.
Yeah, they knew it was going to flop.
Yeah. I can't believe. From what I've heard. Amazon, Netflix, Paramount Plus even were trying to get Acme versus Coyote versus Coyote versus Acme. They were offering money and
well, it didn't meet our quota of just slightly above what they offered us.
But then they went back and said, all right, well, let's give you another offer, and they went, nope, don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's another statement of an industry that is submitting to the idea of money over the existence of culture. And that's been as it has been the entire time of existence, but it's getting more and more obvious, and there's fewer avenues to actually go if you want to create something anymore and get it out there to be seen. You can release things out there, but to get it actually seen by people. I mean, you know, you put something out there on Amazon or Netflix and no one's going to fucking know it exists.
Is it because of time constraints? Like, do they need to have the tax write-off in a certain amount of time so they don't have the time to hear another offer?
I doubt that. I think at some point it's stubbornness.
Yeah.
It's you've tried to leak this, you've tried to get people or against us, so we're just going to be antagonistic.
God. Fucking streaming service. But yeah,
industries. Industries built on money as opposed to heart. Nothing matters.
I always saw Pineapple Express on Netflix.
Yeah.
Always on there. And I was like, it was one of those
things. Ultra HD 4K, by the way.
Yeah. And it was always one of those things where it's like, oh, it's on Netflix and it's going to be on Netflix for the rest of eternity, so I'll get around to it eventually. There's no rush.
Sony is not releasing a streaming platform after it sold Crackle 2. Did it sell Crackle 2?
Crackle 2?
Crackle 2. They sold Crackle to Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Okay.
Yep, that's a company that exists. That's its name, and that's now who holds Crackle. Home of Joe Dirt 2, American Loser. Originally.
So yeah, I remember I've seen Pineapple Express on Netflix for so long, and then the week we get round to recording and finally do an episode on Pineapple
Express. The month you decide let's do it, I go and look for it and find it's available on Hulu.
Yep, and Hulu don't get me fucking started.
They decided to crack down. They're crackling down.
You try your hardest to give money as legitimately as possible to Disney Plus.
But they delete films
and Hulu and whatnot.
And they say, no, we don't want your business.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. It's a good job I got a Blu-ray of this film. It comes with an extended edition.
Ooh.
Which puts this up into the 18 rating, by the way. It was a 15, but here it contains frequent drug use and references, strong language and violence. Which doesn't really sound like an 18.
Are there any scenes in this film that you think to yourself, surely everyone's seen this scene? Like, you know, the McLovin scene in Superbad.
Hold on, what's the McLovin scene? Because McLovin is peppered through that film.
Obviously. Yeah, but like, you know, when he when the cops come up to him and he hands them the ID and he goes,
I'm loving that thing when he's so confident.
Down to party and stuff, yeah. But like, I don't think I've ever seen.
No one's quoting the moment in which Jonah Hill says, I'm sorry that the Coen brothers aren't doing. Well, no, that's Michael Cera says that to him. I'm sorry the Coen brothers don't direct porn for you.
No, I don't think so.
That's a good moment. That's a funny bit.
But like, there's bits in comedies like these that have been that I'm surprised I've not seen a clip of Pineapple Express, to my knowledge. I might have.
But have you seen the trailer for Pineapple Express 2?
No.
No.
Is that a thing or is it an SNL?
That was something they released, a trailer for Pineapple Express 2.
Like
because
legit?
That was part of the film. That was part of the body of the film. They made that trailer within the film of This Is The End. It's like they did during the apocalypse. Did a cheap thing with the group of them sitting in the James Franco house making a sequel trailer for fun. Right. Using the same song. And if you remember the song from the trailer, of course, that was iconic.
I am very intrigued by this. I feel like
that
it's...
was MIA with Paper Planes, if you don't remember.
I feel
that
like
was a big marketing push with all I want to do is.
Oh yeah, yeah. I feel like this is going to be a huge disappointment.
Well, it's 2 hours long.
That was the start of the tip of the iceberg for me.
And I don't
want to
mention.
Maybe it's not as...
real quickly. Just so that we've got this, so I can add a tag so that people can come to it and you know just find this episode randomly. Do you know who the love interest in this film is?
I didn't know there was a love interest.
Well, there's obviously a love interest beyond James Franco for Seth Rogen.
Right. It's not like Alicia Cuthbert or something. No,
you'd know if it was Alicia Cuthbert. It's not the girl next door.
There's
no
happy endings. Is it Anne Hathaway?
Star of Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom.
Oh.
Is that helpful to you?
Amber Heard?
Hey.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we mentioned her, so if anyone wants to come and look for that, just because they love, they respect, or they hate, and they're angry, boom, we can put that as a tag. Get the word out.
Get the word out. Well, shall we watch Amber
Heard?
Is that
every episode doing numbers?
Well, possibly. Shall we watch how long is Amber Heard in the film for, percentage wise? What would you say?
I would probably say she's in it for a good time.
The money, oh.
But not a long time.
Right.
She's not in it as much as I would say the two funny, heavy characters.
Well, it's news to me that there's such a thing as a good time with Amber Heard.
Wow.
So,
okay, go back to episode on Drive Angry 3D, which is a good time.
With Amber Heard?
She's in it.
Yeah, but was it a good time with her, specifically?
Yeah, she's in the car. And the car has a good time.
Okay.
And she's having a good time. So what more do you want?
Well, shall we have more of a good time with Amber Heard? Apparently I've already had a bit of a good time with Amber Heard.
And the director of Halloween.
David Gordon Mills. Green.
Didn't let me finish.
Sorry.
He talked over Halloween Kills. Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened in Halloween Kills?
No.
Well, Evil was going to die that night.
Right.
For Halloween Kills. Evil was meant to die that night.
Is Halloween Kills the last one? Or is that Halloween Dies?
That's Halloween Ends. Obviously.
Halloween Ends. That was
obviously it ends with Halloween Ends, you fool. You foolish, foolish fool. Halloween Kills, this is the one where Judy Greer finally gets a chance to do something and kill her off.
Oh, God. How do you remember any of Halloween?
Because of Judy Greer.
Oh, God.
Because I sat there with a bowl of breakfast to watch it on Peacock when it started up. And a friend was messaging me saying, oh, it's so bad. And also, don't watch it with food. I feel sick. It's so violent. And I was having breakfast going, it's not violent. It's a bit silly.
Not violent, a bit silly.
I can't believe people think things are violent.
That should be the tagline. Not violent, a bit silly.
Yeah, but also that suggests I had a good time with Halloween Kills.
Well, shall we try and have a good time with Pineapple Express? I'm not.
Can we have a good time
optimistic.
With the director of The Sitter? Do you remember
Don't
The
you
Sitter?
Mean The Shitter?
might as well. That film wasn't even an hour and 25 minutes.
Oh.
I know. Couldn't justify its length as a feature film.
I'm so jealous.
I know. But you also had to spend the hour and 25 minutes with Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Being very, very, angry.
Was he driving angry?
In 3D. Do not exceed recommended daily dose. Keep out of reach of young children.
Hey, is that on the DVD? Are you kidding me?
No, there's 30 servings per bottle, one gummy daily for these CBD gummies that I had a couple of before the start. Because whilst I can't get any good THC around here, CBD is easy to get to.
What's CBD and THC?
CBD is the thing that makes you feel okay. It's pain relief. Whereas the THC is the stuff that makes you feel like you can get into a mess with Ted Jones and Carol Female Cop. THC is the fun.
Right.
Late stuff, whereas the CBD side is the healthy side. It's good for your skin and your composure and your body and your pain.
I didn't know medicinal marijuana was different to normal marijuana.
That's different. That's because it's just different parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they can legally sell the gummies here if it's that kind of thing, if it's just the pain relief stuff. When it gets into the other side, it's like, oh no, now it's bad. Question mark.
Speaking of bad.
Hey, we watched a film.
We did.
It ran nearly 2 hours, and it wasn't even the extended version.
Halfway through, I did say to you, it was so generic. Yes. I thought the whole reason that it was such a big, it was so popular when it first came out, at least, and a few years after. Like I said, I feel like it has died down over the last few years, so I've not heard much about it. But I thought the reason that it was so popular was because it was like an original kind of not done before stoner movie. But it was, it just felt like your general run-of-the-mill stoner movie. Like, it wasn't anything...
When was the last time you saw there was a stoner movie, though? That's the thing. This was 2008. True. This was a moment where the next generation needed their one.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
And Seth Rogen pounced on it. And what's funnier than a bunch of people dancing around smoking ganja and then just doing something stupid again in a montage five times?
There was the first two-thirds of it, there were moments where I was actually really enjoying myself, like pleasantly surprised by it, and it was
you were like, "Oh, this is charming at times."
Yeah, and then it kind of slipped back into we're back to normal, like the generic.
It's the action movie.
Yeah, and then it would go back to like a funny moment or a funny scene, and it'd bring me back, and we're like, "No, I quite like this now." And then it would go back again, and then the last act, I was just like, I checked out completely, to the point where. The final scene, we weren't even focused. Well, I wasn't even focusing on what was being said by the main characters.
Well, we were both pinpointing. They're sitting in a booth in a restaurant, in a cafe, a diner. Let's call it a diner.
Listener, if you're going to rewatch Pineapple Express, I heartily recommend you spend the final scene, at the very least the final scene,
looking at the
extras. Yeah, if you get to the final scene, just watch the extras behind them, in the two booths behind them.
What they're doing. And it's not that they're doing something that's crazy or wild. They're just strong performances.
Yeah, and I think...
Carrying a scene.
Because the three main characters are in this booth together and they're looking all fucked up and they're, like, being loud and chatty, you know, because they're the main characters.
And they're just re-going over the crazy stuff that happened in the movie anyway. So it's not like it's important. It's just like, can you believe that happened? Yeah, but then
I was just thinking to myself, how annoyed would you be if you were in that cafe just trying to have a meal by yourself or with your partner?
Read what happened over the last couple of days in the newspaper and all you get.
And these three main characters turn up and they're doing they're acting like their main fucking characters.
Yeah, Johnny, I'll stop you there. Two main characters.
Yeah, I know.
But... And one support.
Yeah.
But you do not put Red in the main character domain.
We started watching there was one guy behind Red, and then there was a couple behind the other two.
Dale. Yes. Come on, let's get their names right.
So
we must respect the important characters of Pineapple Express.
We started off mainly watching the guy behind Red. Because you brought up the fact that it reminded you of Tommy.
Yeah, it looked like Ed Tom Bell, the Tommy Lee Jones character in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
When he's there. Sitting there gruff and sanctioning buffoonery.
There are a couple of, like, tiny, tiny moments. Like, you know, folding this paper in just a way, a manner. And it was like, is he really pissed off that he's...
Is he gruff, or is he just, like, Texan man in general?
And I thought we were going to be following him throughout the whole scene. And then it just flipped over and we started following the couple. Because the guy of the couple on the other side really got into his shit. And he was like using salt and tea, you know. Oh, he was all into it.
He was having his cup, but his cup did not look like it was as filled as the other guy's cup. But he was eating something. But then she was forking something. But then she was also drinking behind. And they're having a conversation. Their mouths were moving. Yep. His mouth was moving. You think, what did he say? But then he had a reaction where he just, for a moment, for a couple of shots, where they're going back and forth and back and forth, was dead. He just had this look of he'd been told he'd got cancer, and he just trying to accept. And then he came back to having a conversation again.
And all this while, the other guy with the paper has just gone back to being a normal extra, and you don't really notice.
He put his paper down so he could have another drink, and then he kind of just brushed his mouth a couple of times.
Yeah, but there was nothing keeping you with him.
Meanwhile, Danny McBride's doing a thing where he's kind of dying again, but then he's not or something, and then it's having, we're best friends.
So I suppose at the end of the day, you get out of Pineapple Express what you put into it.
It's important for background artists to be respected and not just sucked into a machine where they scan you completely and plop you around for any other place. Because background artists create their own internal lives, which bring the life to the entire scene, which brings life to the film, which brings life to the world.
Is that still a idea that's happening?
Well, it has been going on. Disney were doing that. I was reading the Richard E. Grant memoir to some degree about his last year with his wife, and he does a piece where he's talking about being in Loki and Star Wars and going in costume, then going into a thing to get him completely scanned up and thinking it's just for the costume, but it just feels like there's a bit more than just the costume and just the look that they're going for. Just this sense of, oh, I'm being completely put into a computer.
No, but like, is the extras thing a thing
Well,
that's
that's what they're
happening?
doing. That's what they're doing for everybody. They're trying to scan everything and everybody.
Yeah, but the main thing, from what I recall, during the
It's
strikes
terrible.
was the plan was to have a new system in place where they would
And
scan the
they'll have to keep
actor's
fighting.
face for one day and then never have to pay him again. Is that still an idea
That's what they've
that's
been
been
quietly
bandied about?
doing on sets. That's what I'm saying. They've been doing it with all these people.
I really thought that the strikes, now that the strikes are over, I thought part of the reason the strikes were over was because they'd come to an agreement and that they
They
weren't
can't
going to.
get. They can't come to any agreement because no one's fighting the correct amount of time, and no one's giving enough actual respect to the artists because they have no respect for artists. They only respect the money. Are you not aware of this?
I don't know.
Are you not again looking at the Zaslav of it all? There is no honor. There is no art anymore. There is no chance for another iconic scene like the final sequence of Pineapple Express.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it says something that the extras in this film are
More
more
compelling than Rosie
entertaining,
Perez and Gary Cole
more
screwed
compelling,
together.
more entertaining than most of the things that happened in this film.
And Craig Robinson and Kevin Corrigan.
Yeah. It was so dull. I was really expecting something. I mean, I know it's like, what, 15 years old at this point, but I was still expecting
15 and
something
a
fresh
half.
and new and, like if you watched the Lego Movie for the first time this year, it
Yeah.
would still hold up and it would still be like, oh, this is new. I've not seen this kind of thing before. I
Because
feel
they pay
like.
off jokes.
Yeah.
They set out jokes and pay them off.
Yeah.
If someone says, I'll take you outside and fuck you in the street,
Yes. That's
then
what we
the
want to
Lego Movie
see.
would have Emmett taking Wildstyle outside and fucking her in the street.
Yeah.
But alas, it does not.
And there was no there was I was waiting for a big like reveal of the opening scene because you were trying to set me up for it.
Yeah, do you want to briefly mention what the opening scene is of this film?
So the opening scene I thought
How
was just like
what's the company logo look like? It's
oh
Sony. What does it look like?
I can't
Blah,
remember.
blah, 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 with the bright colours and the Lady of the Lamp in the bright colours.
Oh, Columbia.
No, it's black and white, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry.
What, black
Yeah.
and white? They got a
Yeah.
weird kind of military sound.
Yeah, that was quite an interesting opening. And I thought it was just like a throwaway gag thing, but then you were kind of putting forward the idea that it was going to come back.
It's integral to the whole plot.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't.
They make weed illegal.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where
I
this
mean,
is going with
if you're
them.
looking at the plot of the film, that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they get Bill Hader doing shtick.
Yeah.
Is Bill Hader good in this?
I mean, he's good in anything.
That's right. That's what I want you to say.
Well, I've still not finished Barry,
I was going to
but
say, did you enjoy
no.
this final season of Barry?
I know he dies at the end of Barry. Does he?
I'm not
I feel
going
like he
to say what
does.
happens at the end of Barry.
Yeah. I'll say what happens. He dies and becomes an alien. He gets reincarnated.
He dies. Okay, right. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've not seen it, so I can add whatever the fuck I want.
No, it's just the fact that he dies, then becomes, is
Then
like the
becomes an
fascinating,
alien and
fascinating
then
transition of
reincarnates.
life.
Yeah, it's
And
an
what kind of alien
interesting
are we talking about? A
it
Quiet
was
Place
directed
alien?
by David Lynch, this one, this final episode.
Ah. If you can believe it, Bill Hader asked me to do a Barry.
To do a Barry.
That's right. I said, fine, I get all my friends. And he said, nope, it's got a cast. And I said, nope. All rabbits. Other... Rabbits everywhere. Far as the eye can see.
That's the other...
HBO had spent $15 million on rabbits.
The other...
And Naomi Watts.
The other thing that disappointed is the fact that they started off with Bill Hader. And he was sort of done and dusted out of the way within the first
shot off
5 minutes.
The first 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. So you give us a heavy hitter like him, and then the people that we're left with aren't him.
Yeah.
And I was expecting more from
go on.
Saul.
Which one?
What's his name?
James Franco.
Yeah.
You think you're going to get a lot of comedy out of James Franco?
No, I was led to believe that this was like one of James Franco's best roles and biggest kind of successes.
Really?
And yeah, because
fascinating.
That's the idea I had in my head of like.
I remember people just saying, "Well, it's weird. They should probably play the other character each."
Yeah,
that's the basic consensus.
But I thought it was like maybe people thought at first they should have played the other character. And then it's like, oh,
got on board. He's doing something interesting here.
Yeah, but it's not really.
Which is what happens with The Interview, if you don't know about The Interview.
God, remember The Interview?
I do remember The Interview, because I like The Interview.
I didn't mind it, but I just remember the shitstorm that it...
I know, it's kind of weird to cast John Krasinski as Kim Jong.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-il? Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
It's a bold choice.
It's crazy, though, that caused such a ruckus. Now, however many years later,
10.
it's all but forgotten about.
Yeah, no one remembers North Korea exists. You're right.
Yeah, like considering it was, you know, the headlines were kind of going, this film could very well bring us to World War III.
War, yes.
And then it just came out, and it brought the
detailed information about how executives think. This Spider-Man needs to have an EDM energy. Jesus. Going to be like the kids, so he has to skate and be a DJ.
But this Spider-Man needs BD energy.
Oh. Look, Andrew Garfield has BD energy.
Oh yeah.
Bloody dapper energy. Oh, he's bloody dapper, really.
But yeah, Pineapple Express. I was expecting more.
You weren't impressed.
I wasn't impressed. How are you?
Were
you
impressed? Express. You haven't asked me the question, have you?
Yeah, well, let me ask you if you're impressed this time around.
I haven't been impressed with Pineapple Express since I bought the Blu-ray in 2009.
And is that the first time you saw it when you bought the Blu-ray? Tell me about the first time you saw Pineapple Express.
The first time I saw moments of Pineapple Express was when the trailer came out and it was all about the cross joint.
Right.
That was the big thing. They had like a 4 minute trailer and it was like that sequence. And isn't it funny? And they showed that again at a little event called Empire Movie Con in 2008. Oh, yeah. That wonderful summer. Because one of the films they were showing as a special event, if you paid money, was Pineapple Express. I couldn't, of course, though, go and see it because that started about 9 o'clock.
Oh.
And I was young and wasn't allowed into London much because my parents were weird. Fucking, yeah, you don't go anywhere, you're not allowed anywhere.
Yeah.
So 9 o'clock would be too late, let alone finishing about 11 and then getting home.
God forbid.
So I couldn't go and see that at MovieCon.
Right.
So I had to go and see it a couple of weeks later when they were doing free tickets for early screenings anyway. So I saw that in a packed house and we all laughed. It was a packed house, everyone laughed. And I saw it 3 more times.
Wow.
In the cinema. And every time, it was a decent audience, and we all laughed. And then when I finally bought it on Blu-ray, I watched it at home, on my own, in a non-packed room. Silence can be deafening. It is astonishing what a crowd can do to a comedy.
Yeah.
And thus, when a comedy is released on a streaming platform, it is saying this is not worthy. This genre is dead, and we are just pissing the ashes out. You need to see films with groups of people. They need to have an experience together.
That's what worries me about Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Sorry, what?
Beverly Hills Cop 4? No. Oh. Beverly Hills
that doesn't...
Cop. Uh-huh. Redux. What's it called?
Beverly Hills Cop Axel F.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot about the crazy fox going to be.
No. Gary Oldman doing his famous Oscar-winning performance as Crazy Frog.
But yeah,
I must have said now. My head is inside a lion. I am a crazy frog.
But that coming straight to Netflix kind of worries me, concerns me.
Does it concern you that Eddie Murphy has said the director is the worst director he's ever worked with, having worked with John Landis twice?
Yeah, God. John Landis did three, right?
John Landis did three. He was put out of he was taken out of director's jail because Eddie Murphy was kind to him. And then immediately, John Landis grabbed him by the balls, pushed his neck, strangled his neck up against a wall and told him to fucking stop being a dick. So, you know. And I this really guy's liked... a worse director to work with than John Landis, said Eddie Murphy. So, a man who, you know, negligently let people die and has actively strangled and assaulted people.
Well, that press tour is going to be interesting. It's going to be like, what's the name?
Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
She's burning bridges.
Dakota Johnson of comedy.
Is Eddie Murphy the Dakota Johnson of comedy?
He could very well be.
Okay, that would explain how to be single. Because Eddie Murphy's not been funny for a while either. Hello.
I know, it's such a shame. Wouldn't you love to see him do another stand-up show, though? Because I think it would be like...
A stand-up show? No.
Yeah.
God, no. I never liked his stand-up in the first place.
I know, that's the thing. Like,
no, I'd want to see him do something interesting.
They were so popular, though, his stand-up shows.
Yeah, I know.
That I think if he did another one today, it would be so shit. Yeah.
I want to see him play an interesting character.
Which character would you give
Mr. Church. I want him to play Mr. Church. But not Mr. Church from the film Mr. Church.
Okay.
I want to see him play Mr. Church from the film The Expendables.
Fucking hell.
Do you remember Mr. Church in The Expendables?
I want to see him in a...
Do you remember the character Mr. Church in The Expendables? I'm asking you a question first. That's Bruce Willis'
character.
I remember
the name. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. I want to see him play Mr. Church as in a man who gets turned into a church.
Oh, okay. Wait a second.
Yeah, it's wacky.
He looks at he points to himself and goes, "Here's the church." He points at his erection and says, "Here's the steeple." He pulls himself around and opens up and goes, "Open the roof. Here are the people."
Yeah.
And just poops out. Is that it?
Yeah. And that would be more entertaining than Pineapple Express.
Eddie Murphy does a goatsy.
Which, even though the first two acts of Pineapple Express have some entertaining moments peppered in throughout.
The first two acts are also an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a long time for this kind of film.
But there's entertaining moments peppered throughout the first two acts. But it doesn't hold up. It doesn't, you know. Like, I was watching it a couple of times thinking to myself, what would I rate this? But at this point...
18 on the extended version.
And I was getting up to like, probably 3.5 out of 5. And now I'd say probably 2.5.
Improv. You see, they do too much of the line-o-rama stuff.
Mm.
And they just leave it in. They let it fester. But it doesn't amount to much, because what point does all this quote-unquote character stuff lend you if by the end it doesn't come back? It's just there for the moment. It's just filler.
Was a very improv-y moment which felt more like an outtake that they just left in. With a female cop,
and Rosie Perez,
and the guy that she's working for / in a relationship with,
Ted Jones,
they were stood outside his house and he says something to her about her Spanish background, something like that, and she kind of hits him playfully, like, don't say that or say that again, you know. That felt very much like, why have they left this in?
Because the director hasn't called cut yet. He's trying to work on three Halloween films.
It felt like one of those things where they mention it in the press tour. Oh, we had a lot of fun on set. That kind of thing.
Talk to me about a press tour. Go into detail about them just saying, oh, we had a lot of fun on set, and then just stopping entirely dead.
They'd get asked at first, or the question would be half asked.
Sorry, I'm going to sit down with you. Hi, Gary. Hi. It's lovely to meet you. I'm assuming you're Gary, and I'm not going to give you Rosie Perez's role. That seems questionable.
Okay.
I'm a big fan, obviously.
Love your work.
I think you're an interesting dramatic actor and a very funny comedic actor, and this is exciting to see you in an action film. How did it feel to be part of a film that's both an action and a comedy?
Oh, you know, it was great. It was a great time to be had, and we're really looking forward to releasing the film.
Working with obviously you've got this kind of energy to these kind of films. Was there a lot of?
We had a lot of fun on set.
Right. Didn't let me finish.
See, that's how
it would go. Nope. Did you ever feel like the amount of money spent processing the film?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun
working
on the set.
On the set
could have gone to a home set, shop. Shut the fuck up.
Or feeding people who may be going starving.
Like I said, we had a lot of fun on set. We'd invite the homeless people around to watch us film, and we'd burn the money as well in front of them.
The economy is going really well. This is August of 2008. The economy is going well. There's no chance next month it's all going to collapse or anything, right?
Not when you're having so much fun on set.
Okay, that's interesting to say. Gary Cole, big fan.
Yeah.
No. How do you feel about the film Big Fan? Sorry, Patton Oswalt.
With Patton Oswalt, they probably did have a lot of fun on set, didn't they?
This interview is over. Good day, sir.
I'm going to go on the set and have some fun.
When has Gary Cole not had fun on?
Exactly.
No, I'm asking you.
Never.
You think never had fun? Never not had fun?
He has all the fun on all the sets. Sometimes he just goes to sets to have fun.
What about on The Good Fight? Could you have fun on The Good Fight?
Oh, yeah.
Because the danger is, that's the problem. The danger is the fights. When they get so good, are they fun?
Oh, yeah.
Can you have a fun fight that is good?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can have a boring fight that's good. As long as you got him in there.
Really?
Yeah, really. My improv skills are amazing.
Yeah, how's the Second City going?
Yes, and
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
What is Ireland's Irish improv actually about? What's the ethos?
Potatoes.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
I can say that because I live here now.
You live there? That's your excuse for being able to say it. So if I wanted to go to Mars and just live there, I can then go, ha, red planets, eh?
Yeah, I can say the P word.
Stupid reds.
I can say the P word because I live here now.
Sorry, the what?
The P word.
Please.
Potatoes, boil and mash them, stick them in a stew.
See, this is too much for me.
Alright.
I just genuinely don't think... This is too politically charged. We talked about Amber Heard. We talked about having fun on set, but no way. Hey, remember when marijuana was illegal in America, I guess, or something?
Yeah.
Because this whole film is all about how actually we should legalize it because it's good or something.
Yeah, he does say at the beginning of the movie he's calling into a radio show talking about how he wants it to be legal within 2 years or something.
Mm.
It was Obama was president, so. There was hope.
He was about to become president.
Yeah. Yeah.
The election was coming up, don't forget. Bush was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the election was coming up, so they thought there's a chance Obama could win.
Yeah.
So they probably had an ultimate cut if whoever was up against... Who was up against Obama?
McCain.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an ultimate vice.
Yeah.
Like, you say there's an ultimate cut, but I... do you want me to recite the story of The House again?
The House?
Remember the Amy Poehler, Will Ferrell film, The House? Where they open up the house into a casino?
Oh, who remembers that fucking film?
Me. I remember that because it's really weird because it was shot a couple of years before it came out. And they clearly just left it there because there's a scene where they're drunk coming home and they're trying to hide the fact that they're drunk in front of their child. And before they get in, they go like, wait, who's the president? Just in case they get called out. And for some reason, they say Obama, despite the fact that this came out in 2017. Huh. So they should have had either version of a cut.
Yeah.
They could have looped in either option at that point, but they went with Obama. Because they shot it 2 years ago and just didn't bother. They just didn't bother changing anything. So why would Pineapple Express, whose clear ethos was not bothering at all, even have that?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I just
boom.
Too much
a school jar, some modern comedy.
Well, that shows how much high hopes I had for this film.
How high were the hopes?
Well, when you ask the question that we're all waiting for.
Johnny?
Yes-y?
Would you smoke a cross joint?
No, because it's legal.
Would you, if it was legal, smoke a cross joint?
Probably not. I don't think I'd be into it. Like, I'm allowed to drink alcohol, but I don't tend to drink much.
So. You're allowed to drink alcohol over there, aren't you?
I'm a big boy.
Oh, you are a big boy. How big a boy are you?
I can have an order of woo-woo all on my own.
Yeah? Because how old are you now?
Huh?
You might be a bit deaf. I understand the age difference. How old are you?
You're breaking up right here. I'm mad that I watched this movie. So I think that's what you're asking.
Yeah, the senility in your brain is really affecting you. How old are you?
Listen, I'm not forgetting things, okay? I could run another term.
Yeah? Could you run the first term? Are you old enough to run a term?
I'm not that old.
Oh, okay.
Seemingly. I'm not in my 70s or 80s.
No, and you're not 35 yet.
No, definitely not.
So you could run for office, but could you...
I didn't
write the word office.
You have to be 35 or over to run for
in America. In president, you have to
that's
be 35.
That's fucking ridiculous. I want a 21-year-old running office.
That's fun. Why improviser Connor Ratliff did a thing on the Chris Gethard show when he turned 35. His whole premise was that year he's going to run for office, and his whole thing was because I'm 35.
Oh yeah.
He didn't make
Why
it.
Why not?
It's a shame. I think he'd have been a better leader than a lot.
Mm.
A lot of the things he would have to say yes and to, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And but isn't that better than just saying no?
No, but.
No, no, no. Yes, but.
Yes, but.
Big but. I like him and I cannot tell a lie.
Let me ask you, are you movie mad that you watched this again?
I'm not movie mad for Pineapple Express. I have not been movie mad for Pineapple Express since September 16th or so, 2008.
Such a disappointment. My God.
Oh, you're not mad? Are you mad that you watched this movie?
I am mad, yeah.
After all this hype?
After all these years, I'm mad.
Genuinely, is there hype?
It was for me, I think.
It's so bizarre. It's just rattling.
Mm.
It's really kind of just a film that I feel like no one ever recalls. Maybe they'll think of, like, a gif. At best. And in 2 hours, one gif.
There was one gif of that I recognised of James Franco eating a burger, upset.
It's cool like that people are using gifs of James Franco. He's never done anything wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Good guy, normal guy, healthy guy, happy guy. Mm. Make the world a better place.
Yeah. My God.
Oh, but this was an outrageously hysterical blockbuster from Judd Apatow.
He's like... Well, there's nowhere to go but up from here. So what's our next episode going to be?
Well, next week we're going... Well, next episode, sorry, my old-fashioned broadcasting way. I think we're going to stick with Empire Movie Con films of 2008.
Oh, interesting.
But I guess it would be a surprise film. Dot, dot, dot. It would be the surprise film from Empire Movie Con 2008.
Wow.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Secretly, this is Movie Con month. Didn't plan it out like that.
Just happened.
There we go. Yeah. Just happened to be.
Well, until next time, I suppose.
Where can we find you, Johnny? Are you available anywhere?
I'm always available. I am at Movie Underscore Mad.
Hit him up, people!
I'm at Movie Underscore Mad on Twitter, on X, but I don't really use that much. Am I Movie Underscore Mad on Twitter? On Instagram, rather? Yes, I am at Movie Underscore Mad on Instagram. And I'm Movie Mad on Letterboxd. I'm just checking. Oh, my internet connection is offline because I'm offline.
No. No, you're offline.
For God's sake. Where am I?
Sorry, how old are you? This is really hitting. Where am I? How am I? How old am I?
I'm trying to find my username on Letterboxd. I'm on Letterboxd.
Movie you Mad. Are. I'm going to say it's movie underscore Mad.
Is it Movie underscore Mad?
That's just on X.
Movie Mad is a username that that eludes me.
You're just Movie Mad.
I'm just Movie Mad.
You are just. You got in early on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Well done.
Oh, good. Happy now? Find you? I'm always happy when you're in my life.
I'm on Letterboxd.
You are indeed.
I am on Letterboxd. What am I?
Ethan Runt.
Am I Ethan Runt? How did I get that? Has anyone ever had that before?
Well, you can't get Ethan Runt on thingy, can you? On Instagram. You're real Andrew Jones or something, no?
Me? On Instagram? Yeah. Am I on Instagram?
Yeah.
I'm real Ethan Runt on Instagram because really? I was in Ethan Runt for a month on Instagram and then they start doing the thing where they're going to own your stuff. So I deleted my account in protest, and then I got back on my account. Years and years later, after the booms. I'm thinking of getting a Snapchat account soon.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be great. And then I think I'm going to get a Vine. That'd be fun, get some Vine. How's Friendster going? Johnny, before we end this episode, I want to add you to my Google Plus circle. Be nice, be fun.
What's your Bebo account?
Oh, you have to understand that I'm on Meerkat as well. If you do want to find me on the Jeremy Renner app, I am under Taylor Sheridan is awesome.
Do you think that app blew up a bit when he had the accident?
Well, the app was dead 2 years before that. And I was very upset because I was excited.
Yeah, you'd think he'd bring it back.
He couldn't bring it back. He was in hospital.
I think someone would have brought it back.
Who's going to bring it back? It was his app. He developed it himself. Jeremy Renner learned to code just to make an app for himself and his wonderful country music and just to chat and to judge people who watch pornography on the weekends. Ew, that's gross. Ew. That's disgusting. Don't be disgusting.
Well, I have,
you should also find me.
Yes.
And you.
And me.
And this show.
And us.
We are still on X at Are You Movie underscore Mad?
Yep.
We're on Instagram. Are You Movie underscore Mad?
Yep.
And you can email us, areyoumoviemad@hotmail.com. Quite simple. Get in touch. Tell us your thoughts. Did you enjoy Pineapple Express in 2008? Did you see Pineapple Express after that when there was no crowd to make you laugh and go like,
Did you notice the background actors?
Did you notice the important background artists of that final scene? Are you related, I'm going to guess, because they were quite old 15 years ago.
16. They're going to live forever.
Are you related? And thus, well, they won't know technology. Can email information about their experience on the day. Are they pissed off because they spent 3 hours sitting there pretending to eat and drink, knowing that this nonsense was going on before them? Or was this just a performance?
Did the one who mouthed things, was he promised lines? And he just got cut out.
Did the one who mouthed things, did he have a conversation that was actually ongoing Or was he just mouthing lines and she wasn't responding back? Or was she mouthing back, just her head was against the camera so we couldn't see? Was this actual mouthing? Tell us about the mouth movements. I want to know mouth movements.
And most importantly, did he have what they were having?
We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you. Happy pancake, Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day.
Are You Movie Mad is part of the Podnose Network, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network, produced and edited by Andrew Jones, executive producer George Grimwood. To find out more about Podnose's network, go to www.podnose.com.